What's going on, LifeBridge? It is great to connect with you online. And if this is the first time you're joining us, welcome to LifeBridge Online. We are pumped that you're here. And let me just throw this out there for you. We would love for you to engage in our chat. If you're on our website or on Facebook, you can engage in the chat. We've got a team of staff and volunteers there that would answer any questions that you might have. They can help you get connected to the church and what that actually looks like right now. And if there's anything that we can pray for, man, we would love to pray for you. So go ahead and use the chat and engage with our team. Also, let me throw this out there. Next weekend is Easter, which is just hard to believe. And this year at Easter is going to look completely different than anything any of us have ever experienced. But that doesn't mean that we can be intentional and engage people. Right now, people more than ever, they're just hungry for hope, hungry for good news. It just seems like there's bad news every time you open social media or you turn on the TV. People are hungry for hope. And I think this year, now more than any other time in our life, people are more willing to come to church with you on Easter. So this week, we can be very proactive. Starting today and every day this week, let's be really proactive about inviting everybody we know to come to church with you on Easter. Not physically to church, but to join you digitally. Whatever service that you're going to be attending online, whether it's the 9:30 or the 11 o'clock on YouTube, our website, or Facebook, invite everyone you know to come join you. Maybe you host a watch party, because right now, we have the greatest message of hope in the world. We have the greatest news in the history of the world. Since we have such great hope, we cannot keep that hidden. Let's be proactive to invite people to hear a message of hope, to hear the good news, because people need it right now. We all need it right now. That's for next weekend and really every weekend after that. But for right now, for today, let me start us off by asking you a question. And even though we're not in the same room, you can still respond to me. Here's the question. What is your go-to playlist? Whether that's on Spotify or Amazon Music, what is your favorite playlist of music to listen to? And if you're watching this with a group of people, and I hope it's less than 10, you can respond, say it out loud, then type it into the chat. What's your go-to playlist? For me, I've got multiple playlists, and depending on my circumstances are going to dictate what playlist I go with. I've got a playlist that is nothing but for sports and workout, absolutely. Then I've got a playlist that is entirely power ballads, because I'm a power ballad kind of guy. I've got a playlist that is nothing but 80s music, because let's be honest, 80s music is a gift from God. It just is. Like, I've got a playlist that is nothing but my favorite current stuff. I even have a playlist that is just for when me and my family drive through the mountains. Like no joke, it's music that is great to listen to when we drive through the mountains. Like, coincidentally enough, Israel also had a mountain playlist. Three times a year, everyone in Israel would travel to Jerusalem from their homes to celebrate the three major Jewish festivals. No matter where they were coming from in Israel, Jerusalem was up in the mountains, so everyone was always traveling uphill to get to Jerusalem. This playlist that the Israelites listened to was called the Songs of Ascents. It's Psalm 120 to 134, and they would sing these songs as they traveled up to Jerusalem, hence Songs of Ascent. They were ascending up to Jerusalem. Now, this playlist, it talks about real life stuff, and it also talks about the truth about God. Now, Tim set this up last week, and if you missed that message, it's posted on our website. But right now, we're going to be in a series where we're just going to listen to this playlist. We're going to go through each one of these songs, because not only are they relevant for right now, but this is just really good music. So listen to the lyrics. Now, this playlist was meant for a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Now, a pilgrim is not just somebody who wears a goofy hat and eats turkey in November. A pilgrim is anyone who spends their life going somewhere. Every single one of us, we are all going somewhere, or better yet, we're going to something. So for your life, what are you traveling to? I mean, what's your life heading towards? Now, the playlist that's meant for this pilgrimage is meant for people that are heading towards God. Now, if that's you, awesome. And if that's not you, I'm so glad that you're here. And we're going to unpack more and more of this each week. So keep joining us, because you're going to hear what this means for you too. But this playlist is for people that are on this road towards God, on this road towards faith, this road that follows Jesus. And everyone that walks this road still needs to be picked up from time to time. Like, we all need some encouragement from time to time. We need something to be excited about. And the Songs of Ascent give us that. They also give a lot of cheerfulness, and they even act as a guidebook as you keep going. William Faulkner, who was a Nobel Peace Prize winning a novelist, he said this about the Songs of Ascent. He said that they are not monuments, but they're footprints. A monument only says, you know, at least I got this far. While a footprint says, this is where I was when I moved again. I love that quote, and that's so relevant for where we're at right now. A monument only says, at least I got this far, while a footprint says, this is where I was when I moved again. The time that we're in right now, this is not a monument. This is a footprint. We will move again. Will there be a new normal? Probably yes. Will we get through this? Absolutely. The uncertain time that we're in, even the scary time that we're in, is not going to be a monument where one day we look back and say, well, at least we got that far. We're not going to say that one day. However long this pandemic lasts, one day we're going to look back on right now and say, that's where we were when we started to move again. That's when we started to move again as a country, as states, as communities. That's where we started to move again as a church. We will move again. And maybe you're thinking right now, well, yeah, that's great, but what about right now? Because we're not moving anywhere right now. What's there to be cheerful about? Man, we're quarantined to our houses until who knows when. I got to stay at home and work at the same time. I've got to homeschool. Please help me, God. Like, we're running out of things like toilet paper, for goodness sake. We're worried about people we care about. We're worried about our health. We're worried about our communities. We're worried about the economy. What's there to be cheerful about right now? This is an awful time. Man, I hear that. I mean, those feelings are legit. I feel the exact same way. But personally, I've got a lot of emotion right now. Like, on top of the pandemic stuff, 2 weeks ago, my wife's sister, who is her best friend, she passed away from cancer. She was 40 years old. She's got two daughters that are 11 and 9 years old. She's got an amazing husband. Like, why does she get cancer and die? At 40 years old, that's not supposed to happen. A global pandemic, that's not supposed to happen. So what's there to be cheerful about right now? Let me tell you a story that I think helps, and this actually sets up the song we're going to look at today. I heard this story years ago, and it has stuck with me ever since. There was a 14-year-old girl that got diagnosed with a pretty aggressive form of cancer, and this girl was just awesome. And everybody loved her. Everybody wanted to be around her. She was insanely kind. She was a straight-A student. She's captain of the soccer team. She loves Jesus, and she gets diagnosed with this rare form of cancer. And as the cancer progressed, the battle just got more intense. The cancer got worse, and it was just brutal on her body. Like, why would somebody like this get cancer? I get it if the 84-year-old that smoked for 30 years, like, we understand if that person gets cancer. But a 14-year-old healthy girl that everybody loved and was such a bright light, like, why does she get cancer? Well, over time, after about a 2-year battle, she ended up passing away. And after she passed, her parents are going through her stuff, and they find this journal that she kept during her battle with cancer. And when they opened up this journal, it was filled, like cover to cover, filled with Bible verses. Bible verses that gave her encouragement and comfort during her fight. And they looked at nothing but Bible verses, cover to cover, except for one single phrase. One single phrase was in this journal that wasn't a Bible verse. And all it said was, "The moon is round." Like, it was written throughout the journal, "The moon is round, the moon is round, the moon is round." And her parents couldn't figure it out. They didn't know what it meant. They didn't remember their daughter talking about it. They didn't know, what's this mean, the moon is round? And the more they read it in the journal, they eventually figured it out. Like, even though you can't always see the entire moon, you know, whether there's a half moon or a crescent moon, even though you can't always see the entire moon, you still know that the moon is round. Well, God's providence, His purposes, His plans, His power is like the moon. Even though you can't always see God's providence, even though you can't always see Him working, even though you can't always see His purposes, you still know that they're there. This 14-year-old girl took great comfort in the fact that she knew that God had a plan, that she knew God's purposes were still working, even though she didn't know what they were, even though she didn't understand why this was happening to her. She took great comfort in the fact that God was still working, even though she couldn't see it. She took great comfort in the fact that the moon is round. Like, even though that we might not be able to see how God is working in the middle of a pandemic, even though it might be really easy right now to question God's providence, like, really, God, you've got a purpose in all this? It's easy to question that right now. We can still trust in the fact that he is working even if we can't see it. We can trust in the fact that the moon is round. Psalm 125, it celebrates that. It says this, those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. Mount Zion was another name for Jerusalem. Those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated. Other translations say they cannot be moved. They will not be defeated. They cannot be moved, but will endure forever. Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forever. That sounds pretty good. That's a pretty good opening line for a song. Now you put that to some music as a massive group of people sing that out loud on a road trip through the mountains. All right, I can get on board with that. I bet they sang that with a lot of cheer and sang that with some triumph. And here's why. The fist of the wicked will never violate what is due the righteous, provoking wrongful violence. But be good to your good people, God, to those whose hearts are right. Now understand the context this is written in. This is the ancient world. Pandemics, plagues, commonplace. The writer of this psalm would have been very familiar with things that came with military invasions like rape and pillaging. Famine, natural disasters were a normal rhythm. Hospitals weren't giving out anesthetics or vaccines. In fact, there weren't even hospitals. The government wasn't rolling out care acts for local businesses and passing out stimulus checks. Pain and suffering were a part of everyday life. It was normal. And yet there's this song, this cheerful song about how God's people are like mountains and how they will not be moved, they will not be defeated, and how God will surround them. Why? In the context of all that mess, why a cheerful song like this? The key word is violate. And it means that God's purposes, his plan, his power will not be violated. God's purposes cannot be violated by a pandemic. God's purposes cannot be violated by the economy. God's purposes cannot be violated by people. So no matter what comes your way, God's purposes, his plans, his power will not be violated, broken, or undone. So we can take a deep breath. That's good news. Eugene Peterson, who was an author and a pastor, he says this, evil is temporary. Nothing counter to God's justice has any eternity to it. This, like right now, what we're in, this is temporary. It's temporary. And it has no eternity to it. That's why Psalm 125 is so enthusiastic and so cheerful. That's why it's good news. And the basis of the whole thing, it all starts with the very first line. It all starts with those who trust in the Lord. That's the base of the entire song. That's the beat of the song. So if your trust is in Jesus, then you have so much to be enthusiastic about. You have so much to be cheerful about, even in the middle of a pandemic. But if you don't trust in the Lord, then the promise of this song, it's void. It becomes a song without a beat. So who are you trusting in? Is your trust in Jesus? Jesus, who is God, is your trust in him, or is it in someone or something else? A good way to test that, to see where your trust really is at, is actually in the song too. It says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, cannot be moved. So do you feel like you're being moved right now? Not going through something tough, because that's all of us, and I'll get back to that in a second. But do you just feel like you're on unstable ground right now? You feel like you're getting pushed, pulled from side to side, all around. Do you feel like you're just being moved? Well, that's not because of your circumstances. If that's the way you feel, that's an indication of what your trust is in. If my trust is in the healthcare system or the economy or political leaders or people that are going to figure this thing out, I mean, those things are all great, but if my trust is in those things can shift. They can change. They can even fail us and come up short. So if my trust is in my circumstances, or my trust is in things that are attached to my circumstances, things that can change, like my job, my health, the economy, leaders, then I'm always going to feel like I'm on unstable ground. I'm always going to feel like I'm being moved at the first sign of bad news. If your trust is in things that can be moved, then you're going to be moved. And that's not a fun feeling. But cannot be moved, that doesn't mean cannot go through tough stuff. That's not what it means. Like even though you're following Jesus, if your trust is in Jesus, that doesn't mean that you're not going to experience pain. Now, my wife loves Jesus, and the last 3 weeks have been by far the most painful 3 weeks of her life. Just because your trust is in Jesus doesn't mean you're not going to go through tough stuff. It doesn't give you immunity to pain and suffering. It just means that when you go through that tough stuff, you're not going to be moved. It says that you'll actually be like a mountain. It says if you trust in the Lord, you're going to be like a mountain. Mountains experience storms. Mountains get hit with the same wind and rain and fire and blizzards that trees do, but mountains don't move. The promise in this song is that if your trust is in Jesus, that when you go through the tough stuff, when you have the storms, when you're in the middle of a global pandemic, you're not going to be moved by the storm. That's really good news. But that's not the only thing to be excited about in this song. It says not only are you going to be like a mountain if your trust is in the Lord, but just like mountains surround Jerusalem, God will surround you also. I don't know where you're at in the world right now, but our church is physically located at the base of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. Every single day, we can just drive a few minutes and know exactly what it looks like to be surrounded by mountains. 12, 13, 14,000 peaks on every single side of us. Man, that sight does not get old. It's just awe-inspiring. And God says that if you trust in me, I will surround you like those mountains. It doesn't mean that you're going to be immune to storms. Storms are still going to hit. But just like when winds and thunderstorms and blizzards hit those mountains, and when those storms clear, those mountains are still there. They haven't moved. That's how I will be with you if your trust is in me. It also changes our perspective. It says that if I'm surrounding you, if your trust is in me, then what's secure for you is your salvation, your security, and your safety. God's providence, his purposes, his power is not just about the temporary. It's focused more on eternity. And what's secure forever, God says, hey, today, tomorrow, and forever, if your trust is in me, your salvation and your identity as a son or daughter of mine, that will not change. That's a different perspective than many of us are used to. Like for the most part, we have a temporary perspective. It's really hard for us to look past the here and now. I mean, I can see today, maybe I can see tomorrow. I can't see next week. I can't look past next week. Some of us, maybe we try to look 3 or 4 years down the road. That's great. Some of us even try to plan out what our entire life will look like and plan till the end. But we can't do that. Even if that's the way we look, that's still a temporary perspective. But Psalm 125 and really the entire narrative of the Bible is an eternal perspective. God's plan, God's purposes, his power, his providence are focused on eternity, not just the temporary. But if we have a temporary perspective, then reading verses like, trust in the Lord and you will be like a mountain and you're not going to be moved and God will surround you like mountains. Well, if you have a temporary perspective, reading verses like that, man, you can read those and think, you know what? Yeah, right. I think God forgot what he wrote about. I think God forgot what he said, because right now it doesn't feel like I'm surrounded by God. It doesn't feel like I'm surrounded by his providence and his power. It feels like I'm surrounded by some virus. It feels like I'm surrounded by panic. It feels like I'm surrounded by questions that I can't answer about how's this going to work out for me? If we have a temporary perspective, it's really, really easy to think that. But if our trust is in the Lord, if our trust is in Jesus, not only will you not be moved, but your perspective will also be changed. You'll go from a temporary perspective to an eternal one. An eternal perspective puts today in its proper place. Today is just a footprint. It's just a footprint. We are going to move again. And one day we're going to look back on this footprint and see that it was one footprint in a continuous line of footprints that go on for eternity. So I hope this is as good of a reminder for you as it has been me. I hope this gives you a good reset and peace like it has me. Hear this. A temporary perspective will make trials seem eternal. But an eternal perspective is going to make trials seem temporary. Perspective is key. It's key right now. If you have a temporary perspective, then the mess that we see around the world right now, it's going to feel eternal to you. And maybe it already does. But if you have an eternal perspective, even the mess that we're in right now, even though it's hard, won't even feel like a blip on the radar. It'll be temporary. So what kind of perspective do you have right now? Do you have a temporary or do you have an eternal perspective? Because whichever perspective you have will greatly influence the way you handle what we're in right now. Your trust will shape your perspective, and your perspective will shape your expectations. My expectation is that this is all just a footprint, that we're going to move again, that we're going to look back on this and it's just going to be a blip on a radar. That's my expectation. My expectation is that this pandemic has not stopped God's purpose, has not stopped his plan or his power. It hasn't even slowed it down. A pandemic cannot slow down God's power, cannot slow down his purpose, let alone stop it. My expectation is that in the middle of all of this, God's people, LifeBridge, that we'll move again, that we'll keep moving through this. Why is that my expectation? Like, why is it in the middle of so many unanswered questions and in a time where it feels like there's bad news around every corner? Well, the reason why that's my expectation and why I have so much confidence in it is because I know that the moon is round. The moon is still round. So I want to give you a few minutes just to reflect on all that. Process it, think about it, pray through it. And I want to give you time, I give you a chance right now to take some communion in your own home. Grab some crackers or bread, some juice, and communion is just a time for you to reflect on, hey, Jesus went to a cross and then rose from the dead so that in times like this, we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about how this is going to play out over the long term, that God still has this, that we can thank him for that. If you're not a Christian, if you're just checking this whole thing out, if you're joining us for the very first time, man, take this time to reflect on anything that was said that kind of hits you. If you want to pray and ask God about something, go to him right now. So I want to give you a few minutes to do that, and then we'll have a couple questions that you can reflect on and even talk about as a family or roommates or with friends. It's great to see you guys. Let me pray for you one more time. Father, I thank you that that we won't be moved because of you. That you surround us like mountains, that you promise that. Then in the middle of a season where there just seems like so much uncertainty and fear, that we can look to you and know that you got this, that you're still working, that there's still a plan, that your power is still bigger than all this. Father, I pray that you bless everyone that's watching this right now, that you would, that they would experience your presence, that you would give them peace and comfort in the middle of whatever season, wherever they find themselves. And that as a church, we would continue to move. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.